This morning's scripture reading is Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 17. That's Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 17. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command you today for your good? Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe.
Good morning. It is good to be with you this morning to worship God together. What a great week we had with the lectureship and in learning about enhancing our prayers and enriching our worship, and it was a great opportunity to do so. I'm going to start off by going to Psalm 51 and verse 10. It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I introduced that psalm to let us look at our lesson this morning. There are no seconds when it comes to God. God should be first and foremost in our lives in every way and in everything. He should be first in our life. And in order to do that, when we look at this, create in me a clean heart, and we look at this and realize that God must be first, we need to do some self-examination. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified." And when we look at this and we look about creating ourselves a clean heart, and we must do some examination on ourselves, self-examination, and to whether to see if we are in the faith. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he was talking to those Christians. And so we need to, as Christians, to make sure that we are in the faith. And we must take a look and see if we have a clean heart. And when we look at this, we must, my purpose this morning is to look at us and God, to strip down everything that is in our life that might affect our relationship with God, and just focus on God and ourselves for a moment. In doing so, I'd like to take us in way of doing this is to put everything into a box. Everything in our life is pretend that we have a box sitting up here that we could take everything out of our lives, our relationships, our possessions, our day-to-day activities, and our habits, and put them in that box, and let's examine them and see how they are affecting our relationship with God. And as we do so, let us look at the scripture that we had this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 16. It says, "Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer." When we look at that, we need to take all those things that we have taken out of our lives and put them in that box and check our heart. And circumcise, to clean it up, and to make sure that our relationship with God is right. In doing so, we need to make sure that we put God first, because there are no seconds when it comes to God. And we're going to look at these three points this morning: no seconds in our love for God, no seconds in our home life, and no second in our daily living. And as we look at no seconds in our love for God, we may ask the question is why? Why must God be first in our lives? Well, to answer that question, I'll answer it in a few different ways. Because our God is a jealous God. In Exodus 34, verse 14, it says, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God." God is a jealous God. He is a God whom wants us to worship Him, wants us to put Him first in our lives. And you may say, well, wait a second, why should we do that? Well, God created us. God created us. He is the creator of all things. And we need to remember that. In the Ten Commandments, in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 8 through 9, it says, "Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is the earth beneath or in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." And we look back at these Ten Commandments, and we know that we can use this to learn about God, learn the things He likes, learn what He doesn't like. Because of Romans 15, verses 4 through 6 says, "For whatever those things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." When we look at this, we need to make sure that our love for God is first and foremost in our life. We may ask the question again, why? In our scripture reading, we see that it is required of us. In verse 12, we see that Israel was required of us, and aren't we spiritual Israel? In verse 12, it says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of His ways, and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today for your good." We see that we need to fear the Lord our God. Fear Him. We need to walk in all His ways. And you notice there's a word in there, all His ways. It's not part of His ways. It's all of His ways. Walk in all of the ways of God. And to love and to serve God with all your heart and with all your soul. We may still ask the question, why? And in our scripture reading also says, because it is for your good. We are to keep the Lord's commands. We are to keep the Lord's commands. As I mentioned already, we know that God created everything. Everything belongs to God. And in verse 14, it does mention that. "Indeed, heaven and the highest of heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all, and all that is in it." And in verse 17, it says, "For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe." When we look at this, it is for our good. Jesus asked the question, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Jesus also then says, "If you love me, you will seek God first in your life." When we look at this, God, they tried to question Jesus, "What is the greatest command?" And He said that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And we need to do that because it is good for us, because God is our Creator. And we look at these things and we look at our relationship with God and our love for God. We need to then look in that box that I mentioned and look in those things in that box and see if those things are affecting our relationship with God. And make sure that those things we do not put above God, that we put them in their proper place. And when we look at this, there is no seconds in our home life. And in this, we're going to talk about our relationships. our relationships that we have in that box, and we're going to pull them out and look at those relationships and make sure that they do not affect our relationship with God. We may first look at our marriages. Marriage, God must be the only thing that we put ahead of our spouse. And when we look at that, we understand that when spouses have the same goals, it produces a higher realization of obtaining that goal. And when we look at that, if we both love God, both the husband and the wife, and we look at that husband and wife relationship, it's often mentioned about the triangle, and we have the husband, the wife, and as they grow closer to God, they grow closer together. If we want to have better marriages, we better start putting God first in our marriage. And when we see this, and we see the husband and wife relationship is closer than any other human relationship, and when we put God in there, it strengthens our marriage. When we look at our families, belief in God and adherence to God's will keeps the family together. We live in a society where our homes are breaking down and our homes are broken and our marriages are not as sacred as they once were. We know from the beginning that that was not the way God intended. When man and woman were put together, God instituted the marriage. The husband would leave his parents and then be married to his wife. When we look at that relationship, we see families are falling apart because there is no longer strengthening effect of the Bible in the home. And when we look at our relationships, our marriage relationships, we need to make sure God is first in our marriage. And then make sure that those relationships are then fall in line after that. And we look at, as we continue to look in our home, and we look at our children and raising children, if our children do not see the parents commit themselves to God, then it is less likely that they will commit themselves to God. Our children see what the parents do. They see what is important to us, and they see what is important by the way we do things. And our children should see that God is important, that God is first. They should see this, and I broke it down into four different areas. They should see it in our commitment to learning and studying God's word. They should see it in ourselves, submitting ourselves unto prayer to God. They should see it in our commitment to worshiping the true and the living God. And they should see it in our commitment to fellowship with those of like precious faith. And when we look at those four areas, we'll break them down a little bit more. When we look at our commitment to learning and studying God's word, do our children see that we are studying to show thyself approved unto God? Do they see that we desire the pure milk of the word? Do they see that we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ? If we want our children to grow in the knowledge of God's word, we need to be studying and letting them see that this is important to us. Also, we see our submitting ourselves to God in prayer. When we look at that and we look at that, do our children see that we are anxious for nothing? Do they see us praying without ceasing? Do they see us humbly submitting ourselves to God, knowing that He hears our prayers? Do our children see our commitment to worshiping the true and the living God? God is seeking those to do so. John chapter 4, verse 23, we see that God is seeking true worshipers. Those who will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Do our children see that worshiping God in truth matters to us? Do our children see that worshiping God in the right spirit, the right attitude, the right mindset, they see that it is important to us? What about our commitment to fellowship with those of like precious faith? We want our children to be around those who will help them to grow up in the admonition of the Lord, that will help them grow spiritually. And we want to do that. We want to establish that they grow up in the right manner. And we look at that, and we want them to hang around those that are going to help them. We must ask the question, are we? Are we hanging around, being with those, having fellowship with those that have the same beliefs, the same things that are helping us with our goals and not preventing us from our goals? Our goals should be to be pleasing to God, to go to heaven. And those, and when we look at those relationships, we need to examine these. Are we seeking to be around those people? So you may be sitting here and you may have say, well, I'm not married. I'm too young to be married. I'm too old to be married. Whatever it may be, we may be sitting here and say, well, what about, let me ask you, those relationships that are in that box, what about your friends? Those friends, the relationships do you have? Are they affecting the relationship that you have with God? We need to put God first and above all those friends that we have. We need to examine our friendships. And so we need to look at them and decide whether those friendships are helping us with our goals. And when we look at that, we need to see if they are helping us. We understand that there are scriptures to talk about that. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. I'm sure most of us know that. Evil company corrupts good manners. And we look at that, we need to understand if we are surrounding ourselves with evil people, and evil, they corrupt maybe the good morals, manners that we have. So we need to examine our friendships to make sure that we are around those that have these same goals that we have, and not let them affect our relationship with God. James 4 and verse 4, it says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, we understand this, and we have to examine this, because you might say, well, what about those people that are lost? Or you may say this, Jesus ate with sinners. We must also remember that Jesus never sinned. We must also remember that these relationships that we have, we need to be careful with them and to make sure that they're not affecting our relationship with God. And at the same time, yes, we do need to go out into the world, be light unto the world, teaching people the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they can be in the right relationship with God. And we look at this, we need to examine our relationships. And we look at the very first Christians in Acts chapter 2 and verse 44. We see the very first Christians and how they lived and what they did. And it says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. And in verse 46, so continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. You see, they gathered, their relationships were those of like precious faith. Those relationships were those that would help them to obtain their goal, to be pleasing to God. When we look at our homes, we must have the proper structure. God first, family, friends. And we look at these relationships. Yes, those relationships can help us with our relationship with God. They can help us build us up and help us to stay faithful to God. And this is why we need to examine those relationships and make sure that they are. As we dig a little bit deeper in this box, we need to look and say that there's no seconds in our daily living. God demands no seconds in our daily living. Are we living? And we look in that, I want to look at three things: our actions, our possessions, and our entertainment. When we look at these areas that are in our box, let's examine them and to see how they are affecting our relationship with God. our actions. When we look at our actions, it's the way we do things. We get up in the morning and we throughout the whole course of the day, we are active and moving and doing something, making decisions on whether we do this or whether we don't do this. And when we look at these things, are our actions affecting our relationship with God? We need to examine those and test them and make sure that they are not affecting that relationship. And again, I'd like to ask this, are we living Christ-like? Are we living Christ-like in our actions? Are we acting the way Jesus would? Paul said he's an imitator of Christ. He said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And we should do the same, imitate Christ in our actions. In doing so, we can look at ways we can do that. Matthew 25, verse 34, it talks about those things that we should do as Christians to help serve people, to help do those things. We talk about feeding the hungry, giving drink to those who are thirst, invite the stranger in by having hospitality, clothe the naked, visit the sick, and go to the imprisoned. When we look at those things, those are things we can do as actions that are Christ-like. And we've got to look at those actions in all parts of our day to really make sure that we have a pure heart and that we are not letting our actions affect our relationship with God. Now, next, I'd like to pull out those possessions that we have. Those possessions that we have that may affect our relationship with God. We may look at our homes, our cars, our cell phones, anything of those nature that we have, those possessions. How do those possessions affect our relationship with God? If they affect us negatively, then we need to get rid of them. Those possessions, we look at that. Those possessions, we need to examine them. Our daily decisions with those. How will they affect our relationship with God? And are we putting our possessions before God? A lot of times our possessions can be a distraction. Can be a distraction to our service for God. And we look at this and we see there's a big contrast in the Bible between rich and poor. Those that are rich and those that are poor. And we know through Scripture, it talks about how it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why is that so? Because those possessions that we have, they have, affect their relationship with God. And we think of, at that time, what were riches? What were riches at that time? It was land, it was animals, those types of things. An abundance of food and from the harvest and those types of things. Those were all things that they spent time doing. Anybody that has land and animals and those types of things, understand that stuff takes time. And Jesus said it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. We need to be careful with our possessions. We need to be very careful with them to make sure that they do not affect our relationship with God. The next area I would like to pull out of the box is our entertainment. Does our entertainment choices affect our relationship with God? I think it can very easily do so. From the simple entertainment choices of going to watch something on your television set, or something that is in the movies, those things that used to be pure, but now there are things on there that are taking God's name in vain, cursing all through it, talking about the sexual things that we do not need to pervert our mind. Is our entertainment losing our life because of our entertainment? Is it affecting our relationship with God? Seems like September through February, we've lost the specialty of the first day of the week. We've lost it to football. We're people, thousands upon thousands, if not millions, are watching. I'm sure you could have turned your TV set on and watched it from now till the end of the day today, and all you could talk and listen to is football. But what are these entertainment choices? Are they affecting our relationship with God? Now we look at all these things. None of these things are bad in itself. I mean, it's not wrong to watch a little football. It's not wrong to have possessions. We got to be careful with those things. Are they affecting our relationship with God? And when they are, maybe we need to take those out of our life and cut them. But we need to take and observe and make sure that there is nothing affecting our God, our relationship with our God. We must examine all the things in our life. We just mentioned a few this morning, but we need to take all aspects of our lives and examine them and make sure that they are not affecting our relationship with God. We need to love God. Love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And nothing should affect that relationship we have with God. We maybe have some problems with this. I know I struggle at times with these things, but we need to take time and examine these things and make sure that we love God and put Him first in our life. We must ask the question, do we love God the way we should? Is God first in our homes? Is God first in our living and first over everything? How is your relationship with God this morning? Maybe you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In order to do so, you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Confess that, repent of your sins, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Or maybe you're here this morning and while things have distracted you with your relationship with God. If we can help you get your life right with God this morning, if we can help you in any way, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.